This is our legal expert, Jeff O'Brien. He's a well-recognized attorney from Lohmann Abdo in such areas as business law, commercial contract disputes, intellectual property, and more. He also knows his sports and can lend his expertise when there are legal issues at play. This is Dave Harrigan, a well-recognized producer and update host from the Mackey and Judd Show. He's not really an expert in anything, but here he is to introduce the topics to Jeff and then nod in agreement every time Mr. O'Brien makes a great point. Welcome to Case in Point with Jeff O'Brien. Here's Dave Harrigan.
And let me first start by correcting you, Mr. Big Voice Guy. I am almost an expert in the coming topic today. Almost. I won't say completely. But we're talking high school sports, most notably coaches and parents, the dynamics between and being a ninth grade baseball coach for several years. I've had some issues, nothing major, no major run-ins, but I've certainly dealt with parents over the year. And Jeff, let's dig right into it. You found this story in the Pioneer Press that was a week or two ago, and all about all these run-ins with parents. You know, a lot of abuse that's directed towards coaches. Most of it not physical, but right. There certainly have been cases of that have been documented. But a lot of verbal abuse, a lot of, you know, whether it's online or to a person's face. And it all leads to my first thing I want to talk about, the state statute, something that was passed just a few years ago in 2013. The statute stipulating that, quote, a parent complaint or parent complaints must not be the sole reason for a board not to renew a coaching contract.
Yep.
That seems like the ultimate in a law or a statute that means absolutely nothing, correct?
You know, Dave, you're exactly right. I mean, and the hard part in this area, and this is a good topic, like you said, both of us have had experiences in this area, me on the legal side and you being in the trenches and having to, you know, to deal with the parent issues. The general rule in Minnesota law is that, you know, as a coach, as an employee, just of the school, is, you know, it's employment at will.
Mm-hmm.
And employment at will means that you can be fired or you can quit for any reason or for no reason. So having a statute out there that says that it can't be the sole basis for your for the termination of the contract, there's not a whole lot of teeth in that. You know, you talk about when you get to like the college level, and you hear about buyout clauses in contracts.
$7 million for Richard Pitino.
Yep, and you got I think it's what was 5.7 or some big number for Jay Robinson. That was one of the focuses with his Xanax stuff as to whether or not his buyout clause will be voided as a result of this issue. You know, that then now you're talking real money. It makes a university is going to think long and hard before they send a coach up the river.
Mm-hmm.
When you're at the high school level, I mean, you're talking, you know, four figures, and these jobs are in large part, you know, side jobs. This is not, I mean, these are not like your day job. You're talking about a school board making a really easy decision to just cut and run, and having the coach not having a whole lot of options, given how much it would cost to retain my services versus, you know, what they would receive in return. And, you know, even if you pressured a school to get your job back, you still have to deal with the parents that may have run you out. And so it's a real difficult issue for a lot of reasons, from a coaching standpoint, from a legal standpoint. And it's happening far too often. You know, the Pioneer Press story talks a lot about some various high school coaches that have had issues with, you know, parents showing up at their homes, sometimes inebriated.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, telling the coach, you know, play my kid more or take him out of the game, or he's off. You know, he's going to get off the team. Just stuff like that. And this is a difficult area, and you know, and the thing is that it doesn't just end with high school sport. I mean, this starts at the lower levels. I mean, we've heard stories of, you know, the youth football games. I mean, there's been news stories of parents you know, threatening a coach of a youth football team with a gun.
Oh, you can find as many videos as you want on YouTube of parents getting into fights with parents or coaches or officials, whatnot.
And a good friend of mine who's the head basketball coach at the University of St. Thomas, John Tower, who's actually a PhD in psychology, wrote a great book on the issue of the parents and the coaches' relationships in youth sports. And he has a great term for the parents, and he calls them WASPs, well-intentioned, over-involved sports parents. And it starts out as, you know, you're looking to help, you get your kids involved with sports, you want to help them maybe boost their self-esteem, because, you know, and there's a lot of benefits to playing youth sports, and even on through high school level too. And some of those skills that you learn and those benefits that you get that last you the rest of your life. So maybe that was the original impetus. And then the emotions maybe take over, and it becomes more about other things. Maybe it's about, not even about winning. It's more about things like, is my kid going to get a scholarship? You know, and it starts to get mutated, and then you have situations like this where now it's completely out of hand at some levels. And granted, you know, the media covers the bad stories. This is not happening in every school district, but it's happening too much in too many districts. And, I don't want to advocate for any kind of action on the part of the legislature, but perhaps it's time for some of these associations of, you know, coaches, associations, and, you know, school boards, school districts, to come up with some sort of protocol or guidelines or some kind of a, almost like a standard contract, if you will, to kind of guide how this, what happens, as I say, what are the how to protect the coaches when the parents attack?
And I imagine, you know, a parent has any number of issues that they could complain about, whether it be playing time for their kid, or why is this other kid playing, or why is the coach running this play, or why aren't they winning enough? You know, whatever it is, I think it's got to be tough if a parent lodges a complaint for, you know, athletic director or sports department at any school or district. It puts them in a tough spot because, obviously the coach is very important to the program, especially a coach that's been there a while. But you also have parents that, you know, maybe they're part of the booster club. You know, they run events to support the programs year in and year out. They're doing fundraisers or whatever. So there's kind of a duality there. There's, you know, you have to be loyal to both the parents and the coaches, where I would think for ADs and departments all across the state, that's a tough wire to walk, I guess.
Yeah, and I think it's more difficult when it comes into the coaching realm versus other school employees, such as other teachers and principals, because, you know, these in the last, what was it, 5 years ago, when the rules were changed and non-teachers could be coaches of teams, you're seeing more folks like yourself that you don't teach during the day. You're doing
big time radio guys.
Exactly. And so it's easier, I think, for a school board or a school district to cut and run from a part time coach who's having some heat from the parents versus a teacher who may be part of a union, may have other folks backing him up. And maybe the way to go, you know, we talk about in the law the concept of due process. You know, we have there's a process. It has to be followed. And maybe the solution to this is take it one step further from where the statute says it can't be the sole decision. Well, great. That really doesn't mean anything. Yeah. Let's establish kind of a uniform process for if a parent lodges a complaint against a coach. How is that dealt with? You know, is the coach should be entitled to a hearing. A coach should be entitled to present his or her side of the story to the school board, and the school board and others should be able to come in and, you know, and present on each of the parties' behalfs. And the school board can take all of that into account and make an informed decision. Because the thing to remember with the schools and the school boards, when you have an issue with a parent, if you're at the high school level, a high school player is at the school 4 years tops. Mm-hmm. The school and the school board have to be making decisions about the long-term health of their sports programs and it's going to last far. Rather than making decisions based on a short term, say a 4-year issue, they don't want to do something that's going to affect them 10, 15, 20 years down the road. So we also talk about fiduciary obligations when you talk about corporations.
Yep.
The school officials almost have a fiduciary obligation, it would seem, to the community, the school community as a whole, and should be making decisions in the best interest of all the stakeholders versus doing something, even if it's a parent that gives a lot of money to the booster program. They have to look at this as what is the best for everybody involved, and not always bending to the whim of the loudest voice in the crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, and the loudest voice in the crowd is tough. When you talk about parents, and you mentioned having some sort of, a hearing with the school board, say if there's a complaint. The problem I see with that is, say Billy's parent is upset with the coach. So they lodge a complaint saying, he's not treating Billy the right way. Well, they can have that hearing, and you may want to hear what other parents think of the coach too. Well, Johnny's dad might think the coach is okay, but if Billy and Johnny are friends, then you don't want to disagree with Billy's dad, because then you get there's this whole politics that would get into it that just I think dives deeper and deeper and deeper, and it's really tough to unpack where that would go.
It is, and my concern is, if I was looking at this issue in a vacuum, the solution would be, great, you get a lawyer to negotiate your contract with the school, and you try to get in for cause termination and some sort of
get the lawyers involved.
Liquidated,
I gotcha.
Liquidated damages if you're terminated, for whatever reason. But we're talking about, like I said, very small dollars involved. You could probably spend your first year salary on the legal fees to draft that. And it's not necessary. I mean, it's not necessarily a direction that we want to go in, but it's getting to the point where we may have to, if our culture, it's another way of issue with, the lawyers get involved when the culture kind of hits the bricks. Mm-hmm. Right. And if this is, because when I played youth sports, we didn't have these issues. This is definitely a societal issue that's coming to the forefront now versus 20, 30 years ago. And unfortunately, a lot of times the solution ends up being some sort of legislation or some sort of involvement with lawyers to get the system straightened out. I mean, the ironic thing about this, Dave, is that all these schools are running anti-bullying campaigns, yet at the same time they're cutting and running when kids' parents are essentially bullying coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's an anti-bullying campaign with an asterisk.
Yeah. And I suppose a lot of the coaches are probably young too. I mean, I started when I was 20 years old. The first year I started coaching, maybe even might even been 19, but whatever it is, what's a 19 or 20-year-old kid going to say to a parent who's 40 or 50 and upset that their kid isn't playing as much? There's that power thing where you're right. I think bullying absolutely is it. So are there other examples you know of or that you've heard of with, is it that much worse now? Is it just that we hear about it more now?
It may be a little bit a bit of each. I'm gonna quote from Coach Tower's book. This is a Survey USA study from 2001. It was a survey of 500 parents about parental behavior. Now, this is a youth sporting event. So
okay.
I'm making the assumption that you're talking about the high school level. Some of this is going to translate over. And we've seen some of the videos and things of bad behavior at high school events,
mm-hmm.
High school games as well. But of this survey, 55% of those surveyed, of parents, had witnessed verbally abusive parents at youth sporting events. 21% had seen a physical altercation between other parents at youth sporting events. 73% felt parents either verbally or physically abusive during games should be disallowed at subsequent games. And like I said, it's all over on the internet, on YouTube, and 24/7 media. You're always seeing it on whether it be CNN or Fox News or ABC or whatever it is. You're seeing all these stories and videos of of bad behavior at youth sporting events. And, you know, I think part of it, we get back to our participation ribbon generation and self-esteem. And I think it starts there, and I think it mutates to, why is it my kid playing? He's the best out there. You're hurting his feelings, you know, and I'm gonna do something about it. Well, you know, I always tell people this story from back in my day. I played Little League Baseball. Uh-huh. I was admittedly not the most talented guy on the field. My father was my manager. Did I get favoritism? No. Little League has a rule, I think they still do, that the minimum a player has to play is two innings and bat once. There were a lot of games, Dave, that I played two innings and batted once.
And you were out in right field?
And you know what? And I've got some nice trophies at home from my dad having good teams that he coached. And I was along for the ride, but he knew that he didn't look at my skills with rose-colored glasses and knew
he's
that
probably harder on you than the rest of them.
He probably was. Yeah. And, you know, and unfortunately, it seems like we're losing that mentality with a lot of parents, and that's I blame the participation ribbon award. I love these when I see it on the news stories of these professional athletes when their kids get a participation trophy and they give it back. I think it's about time. I mean, this is how it mutates. This is what it leads to, is you're now affecting people's livelihoods.
Yeah.
And wrecking reputations. And you know, I had one client who has gone through this and posed the question, if, you know, what if I had gone to their employer and said things about them that they say about me, I'd be sued, you know. And but on the flip side, it's just, you look at the dollars involved, and it just ends up, you're better off trying to save your reputation, just walking away. And that's not right. So I think that we do have to have a serious discussion. I think the coaches' associations have to be involved. I think the school districts, I think the school boards have to be involved. And we have to figure out, come to some sort of protocol or process as to what do we do, because the answer can't always be kick the coach to the curb.
Yeah, and I've had good and bad experiences with parents, you know, in the dozen of years I've done. I've had parents. And I can speak specifically of one who came up to me after a game very upset that his kid wasn't playing shortstop more and wouldn't accept my opinion that his kid was about the seventh best shortstop on the team, and there's no way I was going to start him at shortstop where I could put him, you know, plenty of other places. He was getting plenty of at-bats, playing the field, you know, all over, but sorry, I'm not going to take the other six kids that are better than them and make them sit on the sidelines so that your kid have a shot. And we've also, you know, we have to cut kids every year. And, you know, some parents are upset. I've also gotten emails that, hey, we totally get it. You know, it's fine. We understand our kid isn't the best player. You know, we see it, and we just thank you for the opportunity. He's loved every minute he's had there. And those are great. So it's not all bad. I'm just trying to help you out there. But say there is a parent. There's a coach out there, and there's a parent or whoever it is that maybe sends an email that's not the nicest, or maybe they're chirping from the grandstand saying some things. Is there something right now a coach can do to, you know, be proactive about it, you know, other than just go to the AD or whoever it is and say, hey, this parent is kind of giving me the business? You know, is there something they can do, whether it be legally or whatnot, or something the administrators can even do to quiet a parent down and kind of nip it in the bud before it gets to be too much?
Yeah, I would say, Dave, the first thing, if you're a coach and you're having some sort of issue with what I would say an abusive parent, before you do anything, call a lawyer. And you know, a lot of times we can, because we don't just bring lawsuits and jump into action that way and write threatening letters. We give advice. And, you know, before you say anything against your own interests or do anything against your own interests, talk to someone who can at least advise you what your rights are. So in terms of if a coach comes to me with some of those issues, you know, there's a number of different things. If you're dealing with a situation where you feel physically threatened, if people are, say, coming to your home, coming onto your property, you know, making you feel like there's a threat of physical harm, you know, certainly you can get a restraining order, a harassment restraining order. You know, if people are disseminating false information about you, there are, you know, you have, you know, defamation action possibly. if something rises to the level of, you know, a crime, report it. And perhaps the first step is to report the matter to the athletic director or the superintendent or the principal and start there. But don't just simply suffer in silence. So I think the biggest thing is know your rights. Talk to somebody and understand what you can do and what you shouldn't do to make, because you don't want to have do something, take action, and then all of a sudden now you have liability because you took action that you shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing is come to folks that understand what you've got, what you're going through, and can walk you through the process before, so you don't make a misstep.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the big takeaway. And again, what I come back to is I hope that when as these stories come out and, you know, books being written, everything, I hope that this leads to a discussion amongst the powers that be and the appropriate parties as to recognize we have a problem. We have to come up with a solution because right now the status quo just isn't working. There's too many of these, even three of these stories, two of these stories, one of these stories is too much.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And let's put the shoe on the other foot then. Let's say there's a parent that, you know, has a legitimate beef. Certainly, at least I don't know of any coaches that are out to get a kid. You know, mm-hmm. they just don't like that kid. So he's going to sit the bench all game long, all season long. You know, you have the kids on your team. You want them all to learn. You want them all to play well. But if there's a parent that sees, you know, whatever it is, they don't like the way a coach is handling something, or they think their kid is getting the short end of the stick, is there something you'd recommend for a parent to do other than verbally assault the coach him online?
Before you verbally assault the coach or attack him online, have a civilized conversation with the coach and find out, express your concern as to what's going on, and have a discussion with the coach and hear the coach out as to his or her reasons for doing what they're doing. And, I mean, we can still talk to each other without, you know, screaming or hitting each other and things
we
like
can.
That.
It's
suing
amazing.
Each other. Yeah.
We don't have to all end up on YouTube. That's good.
Exactly. So I would say it starts with a conversation between parent and coach as to the issue and trying to resolve it at that level. And if it escalates, then we have to have some other means through the school or through the school board to adjudicate these, so to speak. But it starts with a discussion. I would say that probably 90% of all of the issues can be resolved by simply having a discussion between parent and coach, and hopefully we get back to that versus what we've been seeing.
Last question. Exactly what was your youth baseball career like? Break it down for me. I mean, how bad was bad? How good was good?
I'll just say I was a backup right fielder on some pretty decent teams.
So you handled the water jug pretty well, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I was. I knew the concession stand backwards and forwards.
Oh, that's perfect. Well, thank you, Jeff. Another episode in the books. We're solving the world's sporting problems, one episode at a time. As always, I'm Dave. That's Jeff. Follow us. 1500ESPN.com. You can catch the podcast every couple weeks or so. We get one of these done, as well as a SoundCloud podcast one, iTunes. Subscribe and tune in, and we'll do it again in a couple weeks. Jeff, thanks.
Sounds good.